Okay, welcome. May 6th, 2020. And we're talking about looping over data sets today. So this is all about processing data sets with a single command, gobbling expressions that match a set of files, using Gobble to create lists of files, writing for loops to perform operations on files given their names. So we're really starting working with files. So this combines the files and the for loops. So I'll pick on Greg a little bit since I don't think he was here on Monday. Sean, do you want to go over for loops very quickly for Greg and others that may not have been here?
Like what we went over on Monday?
Yeah, just what we went over on Monday.
Let's see. We went over how to declare loops, various ways that we can use loops, such as concatenating where strings and data sets, altering data sets, combining them.
So loops, you remember the three different parts of the loops? Sean, anybody remember the three different parts of a for loop? Kind of technical, but
I guess I don't know the actual necessary word, but like the declaration and the body. And there, before that, there'd be the variable declaration.
Yeah, there's the loop variable, they called it, and the body of the loop, which can be most reminds, and then the, what is it, conditional? Not the conditional. I'm forgetting what it is too. What you're looping over, basically, right? Okay, let's get back to Jupyter Hub and Jupyter Lab. I still have the Jupyter Hub running. If you guys want, try to log into the NCAR site. That's on the website here. So you should be able to log into this Udadata NCAR Jupyter Hub. And I even see now that you can set this Jupyter Hub as a server for Jupyter Lab, so you could run this on like say aircraft or something. I don't know if we would want to have our own little Jupyter Hub, but it's not very hard to set up what they did. So everybody could just set this up and do that. Maybe I'll set one up on my servers. But anyway, you could try that, and we'll use that, I think, for the week from Monday workshop. So everybody will be on the same system. And also, if you want to verify when you're on that, you can see this data directory and things should work. So someone wanted to check that out next week to make sure that they can run some of these commands and everything works on the Jupyter Hub. I suppose I should run and make sure they got Panda and other things installed. Or somebody could use it. So I'll just move on. We could import pandas. Maybe I should start using that so that we'll do that. Remember we used pandas before and we use access to the data. So we have a for loop now, file name in, and then we're gonna give it a list of file names. Remember we did this before, but now we're gonna give it a list of two data files. Now, do I got them right? No, I keep spelling it GDP, gross domestic product. I should get that in order. And Asia.csv. And then we're going to do that for the for loop. And then our for loop has to end with a colon, so we put that in there. And JupyterLab automatically indents for me. Now we're going to do the file name. So that's going to be the for loop, and we're going to have two of them. And we'll read in the same data files that we did before. And then we'll print out the file name and data min. So we'll do some printing. Anybody see anything wrong with that?
There's a couple.
Couple things wrong.
The GDP Asia, you got a comma there.
GDP, ooh, yeah. That should be a dot.
And then country is missing an N.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It didn't look long enough. That's what I knew. I saw that one, but I didn't really see it.
File name is spelt wrong.
And file name is spelt wrong. File.
The print one.
Oh. Only three mistakes in my coding. Okay. Get all my mistakes up. We can print the file name to begin with here, see the minimum data for each year, and then we read in a different data file and print them out. So look at that, four lines of code, and we're reading in and doing some calculations here. So this is a list now. This is a character string for a file name that goes into file name, but then this is a list that contains the character strings. So what a subtle difference there. But each one of these goes back into the file names. We put that in there, read the data, we print it out, and then we come back through this, and the next time, data is a new variable, and we read it from the other data file. Okay. Okay, I guess I knew this before. Goblin is a Unix, Linux computer term that means matching a set of files with a pattern. I guess it's not Googling, it's Goblin, G-L-O-B-B-I-N-G. And that's what you could do with the stars and the question marks. Star means match any characters, and the question mark is one character, so you can do that on a line. In Python, we have a whole library for it. So we can do import gob. And so then we can match and use this library for matching things. So let's, for example, print all the CSV files in data directory. Okay, so we want to print all the file names within our data. And now you notice that I'm using the star here to mean any number of characters, but anything can be within that star. It just means that this is set at the beginning for the directory, and this is the end of the file. But anything the star can be in between. You can use question marks if you wanted to put like this to make, you know, it'd be CSUV, but it ought to be one character. would work. So now you get all the CSV files that are in a directory. So anybody, is this new to everybody, or does everybody know and heard of using stars and question marks? So say yes if you heard about it before, or no if it's new to you. Quick on the yes, no. On the participants then. Yeah, there you go, Greg. All right. So pretty familiar with people. You could do this and look at, you know, different files. If, for example, copy this line of code, and we could put something else in here. And you put PDB, for example. And they will give you the empty set of data. So now let's use that and loop over files. And so this is why it's so important also to name your files with systematic naming convention. So if you look at our aircraft data processing, we try to be somewhat consistent with different file names, like having the beginning be the same with the date of the file. But having consistent names really helps in automating your code. So let's hurry up and write some file. File name in Okay, so we're going to do the same thing as we did before, but we won't specify the name. And I have a mistake because I don't know how to spell 19. What else do I have in here that's wrong? Error. Let's look at my errors on this key.
You got it, GPD in the print.
Right. Oh. GDP per GDP per capita 1952. 51 is not a year. Okay. There we go. Now. Instead of before, we gave the list of the names. Now we use this function to extract that list and put that list into the file names to loop over them. And then we just print out one of the minimum values for 1952. So then you print out the name, the file name, and the value. So very easy way to extract some data. But remember, you're reading in the data files. And just a note, reading in data is very costly to your computer. It takes a long time. So read it into memory, keep it in memory when you're working. Someone was complaining that they need a big, faster computer because they were comparing two data sets. And they were continuously reloading like a month of satellite data and comparing it to 5 minutes of other data. And it was taking forever because every 5 minutes they had, every 5 minutes of one data set, they had to load in a month of a humongous data set instead of keeping it in memory. So, yes, you can always get faster computers, but typically write your program smartly and then you will make the best use of the resources you have, which means don't do a lot of input-output that you don't need to. Okay, what a question for everybody. You can, why don't you send me a nice sort of private chat message here. Assuming I can open up a chat window. Somehow. I'm assuming your chats will work. I didn't open up my chat window to begin with. So chat me the answer to the following. So we have the following data files here. Okay, we have these. So which of these files is not, put that in cap there, matched by the expression B. Okay, so which one of these is not matched? And I got to put labels on this. And this is one, two.
It says three. One and two are not matched.
And so your answers are one, two, three, or one and two are not matched. So is it one, two, three, or one and two?
Oh, so we have four different options.
Yeah, so sorry, they put the four options in there. So what a tricky. And now I gotta see if I can find my chat window. And how did I find my chat window? Someone want to chat me to make sure I can see? That it would pop up a chat window.
I sent you the answer on chat.
Let me stop sharing this real quick. Yeah. Okay, everybody sent me the answer, but I guess I can't see it, or else I can't find it when my Windows was shared. Okay. And now the window is not shared us again. Okay. Now we're back, I think. You should see my screen. So which one is not matched? Oh. Sorry, Dave. Did you get out of code for everything, Dave?
Yeah, it's all good now.
Sorry, I was just getting my chat here working. So everybody, the answer is number one is the one that's not matched. You got AS here and AS here. So it matches them. So, you know, the stars can be anything in the session. So, and now. Okay, exercise two is, we'll do another little one here. And we'll see if you can fill in the code for the following. So here's the exercise. And like before, you got to fill in the blanks for what's missing in the code. And the program is to print out the number of records in the file that has the fewest records. Number of records in the file that has the fewest records. Smallest file has that many records, So it's going to loop through the CSV files. Anybody, one new message. Oops, got my messages. Hey, Mandy's wants to come. Welcome, Maddie. I think. Oh, yes. So we're trying to use Pandas to read in some data files from a whole bunch of different data files. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Good. Making progress.
I sent you mine.
Yeah, I saw yours. Did you run it and get it working?
Yep.
Newest. Oh, it's just going to print out one. Should I give you a few hints? Maybe I should. I keep wanting to copy and paste it with the. Let's try it this way. We need to read the data as a CSV file. That's what we've been using. And fewest is used in there. So let's see if this will work. I think this is what Sean had.
Close.
Is that what it is?
The fewest with the data frame, is that right?
Fewest equals oh. Fewest equals minimum. You add a couple other things. I shouldn't add rib too much to show you the solution. I'm trying to figure out what Sean's solution is. Is that what you get, Sean?
No.
No.
But yours might be right. Well, where you put fewest with the data frame dot shape, wouldn't that be the file name?
You got the file name here, and that's read in right here, right? So you read in the data file, and that creates the data frame. And then you have the data frame, and you want to find the minimum. So I think that's why you start with a very high value. You define fewest to be infinity, so that any value is going to be fewer than that. And then data frames is a shape of that data. Right? So then this goes back and forth until you get that you have two records, because shape will give you the number of records, and you just keep resetting the minimum value.
No. With the data frame dot shape, why is it min with fewest in the parentheses? Wouldn't it be, don't you have to put the file name in the parentheses there?
No, it's the, if you print out the data frame, will be the vast, the shape will give you the size of the data frame. So this is the one for, so if we did the vast mod through the group, we got file name, right? So this is all CSV for that file, right? So the shape to the data frame tells you how many records are in that data frame. And then the minimum is the minimum of the two different values, fewest or the new one, because you want to find the one when you loop in through which one has the fewest. It won't, you know, necessarily tell you what the file name of the fewest one is, but the fewest number of records is two. Does that make sense, Sean?
Yeah.
How about everybody else? Any questions about that?
What's the purpose of shape?
The shape gives you the size of the data frame, or the number of records in the data frame.
Okay, thanks.
So that's what it... Basically, it gives you an answer of what you want but it changes for every file that you have. So if you just printed it out, I guess we could do that, right? You could add a print statement in here to print out the size of it. And then you see that each file, and then we could just do this for file name, comma, I suppose is. So, you know, this file has 30, 25, 50, and so this one is the one that only has two data frames. So I just printed out the values of the number of records in that data frame. And then if you need to go back, remember how we use help and get information about what the data frame shape gives you. Okay. Okay, so so now we want to combine the plotting of the data that we learned about with the data itself. So this will probably take a little bit of time. So maybe I'll just give you the problem and we can talk on Friday about the solution. Or should I just give you all the solution? Do you want homework? Who wants homework? Give me a yes or no for homework. Yes, homework, no, 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 no homework. in a semester, no homework. Oh, okay. So no homework. I guess then I have to give you the solution. So if we want to write a program that reads in the regional data set and plots the average GVP for each region of the over time in a single chart or plot, we want to make one plot. Anybody want to tell me what library used to plot data?
Matplotlib,
yes. So we need to read in and import three libraries, which are the two that we've been using, and then Matplotlib. Set up a plot. Which would be set up a figure, and then we're going to do the plot, PLT, subplot, and we'll do that. Then we need to loop over the files that we had. So we do a for loop. And let's look at the data files that we're looking at. GDP. So that's an easy way to loop over all the files. And I gotta put a colon at the end. So we're gonna do that. We'll use our data frame. And use Panda. If I spell file name right. So we'll do that. Oops. And I actually got to do some plotting with this, so I can't run the program yet. So we can get our information from variables. So we want to know the region. And that's a good reason why to name your files instead of file A, B, C, is to put some information in your files. So then you, when you write programs, you can extract that information. So we're going to extract the file information that we have from that to give us our region. And then let's find values to print. And then when we do that, we got to create our plot. Let's do the legend. And then we do the plot and, oops. And I don't like this, but I gotta put a small t. Anything else I made wrong with this? Let's see if this works. No. Data frame mean. Ooh. AX. Not AX. AX. Don't have my key, my hands on the right part of the keyboard. AX. Try that. And there we go. So we plot up some data. I guess x-axis is not plotting, but it will be over time, right? And how the different areas will increase or not increase much with the different values. So maybe I'll leave that up there. Somebody else can do that. See if you get the x-axis data. And maybe I can quickly take this and copy this cell and jump over to my Jupyter one here, make a new session and see if I can do it over here real quick on the, yeah. See the other ones, now I got all these data points down here, but they ran together. Because it did not extract the, oh, I must be doing something wrong with my region. Am I splitting the region right there? -1, 2. So what do? I print file name, and I want that. So I want to split print file name dot split. If I do that part of it, file name. Oh, these need to be in quotes. So I get file name and I want oceanic. So I should be able to do the -1. So I get that part of it. And then if I do the other one and do colon, or that gives me a beginning. The -4 will give me the end. Oh, it gives me everything. Oh, it gives me everything but the last ending part. I think if you did something like colon 4, you get less of them. So I went back up here and just did something like that. Let's see if I can get that gives me the variables here, but let me go back to my Jupyter Hub and change that. So would that give me, I'm not seeing why. Always interesting homework here. Everybody's glad they don't have the homework assignment to do. So you see how I'm working on this and I'm printing out the data to see. But I guess that's not what's being printed. That's what's the
register. Are you trying to get the X axis to say?
Yeah, I'm trying to get it to be something I can read. So I guess it's too big here. I guess I would have to split out and put an X axis label in. So I get them here, but they kind of run together. So I think you have to do the same thing for what you did for the label and come up with the x-axis values, right? Yeah. But I guess I'm getting something different between my Unidata Jupyter Hub and my local one, so I don't get the values there. Anyway.
a question.
Yes.
So how many plots should we be getting? How many lines?
One for each data file, right?
I have just one line. The line for Oceania. That's the only one I have.
So you got these indented?
Yes.
Data frame, region. Somebody else do it? Do you get all the data lines?
Yeah, I got a little.
Why would you only get one? You should go over every file. And then you plot the data. So it's only if you don't have this one. Are you sure you got this one within the loop? Otherwise, if you bring that one outside the loop.
No, everything is inside the loop.
So did you get this?
Yeah, I have the labels. I have that small box on the top left saying Africa, Asia, everything.
But you only get one label?
Yeah, just one line. I'll go through it. I'll try to figure it out.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what would be wrong. I'll try to keep that up there. If you want to take a picture or watch the video tomorrow, I will try to upload it. So the loops are great because you can loop over the files just like you can a variable. You just put them in a list and then you loop over all the files. So you can do this with hundreds of files and thousands and thousands of files. So Gabo is used to find a set of files whose name matches a pattern. And then if you do this together, you combine both of them, you can do batch processing of files. So name your files correctly, and then you can loop through and automate stuff for the loops. So anyway, I thought I could get through two of these, but again, I took most of the hours. So we can quit there. Other questions? We got writing functions for Friday, and then if you want to stop by on the exam week, we got three more. So I guess I'll just keep doing these, and I can stop sharing the screen. I guess make this bigger, and then I'm probably going to have the workshop on Monday of the following week, so May 18th. So you guys can come see if I can get through all these lectures with one at a time. And the other thing I got to do is once I'm done with this, I got to make sure I save the notebook, and I'm not sure if I save the other ones and stuff. So hopefully we'll have a big long list so that when people come on and can't get through these, we can do that. And hopefully on some of these examples, we have breakout rooms for people to try. So I just got to figure out how to get through these very quickly and take 15, 30 minutes on these instead of an hour. So, okay. If there's no questions, I will stop sharing my screen. And I will stop the recording. So last chance for questions.
Not a question, but